May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is coming again, but he also dwells among us by his Spirit. And so in the present, we live in that Spirit, looking forward to, knowing that he has always fulfilled his promises. And this morning for our text, it talks about his promise of leaving his disciples the capabilities and the ability to share the gospel and to initiate the New Testament church, of which we are even in our generation part of that continuity. And so there's a one generation transition that we consider as we look at the time from the resurrection through the life of the apostles, because it was initiated by the life of Jesus Christ, by his entry into the world, into the service that he gave to us upon the cross in his resurrection. And now we will look at his ascension, which we celebrated a few days ago in the middle of the week. But I always like to think ascension is an important part of Scripture that we need to consider, as his disciples witnessed it in that time in ancient Palestine. So the record for us in the Acts of the Apostles, as we look at this Jew to Gentile transition, we look at this law to gospel to grace transition in the gospel. Luke records for us of that incident in chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 14, which was the text for Ascension Day, following in Jesus' name. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, and to tell the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost was given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were coming together, they asked of him again, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own authority, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. When they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Amen. So Luke recalls for us that some days had passed since the resurrection. And so Jesus was in their presence, or in and out of their presence, as he made his appearances to his disciples, the 11 remaining, but the also 120, which is spoken of after our text in this first chapter of Acts. And maybe they got used to it that way. I mean, how quickly human patterns become comfortable. And so you wonder what was going through their minds, or I wonder what's going through their minds. That is his pattern going to continue on, where he's going to be among us and outside of us and then among us? And, you know, what's going to transpire? How is this going to play out? Most of us don't have the foresight or the foreknowledge to see how things are going to play out. In our own lives, that's a reality. Not knowing what's going to transpire, we have some ideas, but we don't know for sure what's going to transpire tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. But we deal with the transition that we have. Something's put on our plate. We deal with it when it comes and happens. And so also his disciples now need to deal with the transition they are witnessing, or they will witness at the ascension of the Lord to his Father. So what are some of the reminders that Jesus gave to his disciples? Well, we know the day of Pentecost is coming. Next Sunday is the day of Pentecost. And we know in chapters 15, 16, and 17 of the Gospel of John, one of his injunctions to them, one of his commands is, don't leave until you receive the Holy Spirit. The capability to be my emissary, or the mouthpiece of the gospel. Witnesses, delegates, emissaries is a real good term to use. The delegates that have been given the gospel now go out into the known world in Jerusalem, the text tells us, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts, as the Lord commanded them in the last chapter of Matthew to do. And so they have been given that command, or been given that responsibility, but yet it hadn't come to full fruition or full revelation. And so in the Gospel of John, and you know, my Bible, there's some pages coming out in the Gospel of John, chapters 15, 16, and 17. It comes out because there's so much there. So much content about the commands to us, about the commands to his disciples. In all of our Bibles, there are pages that come out because we maybe consider it more, or it has more depth of meaning to us personally. But they are to be his emissaries. They are to be his delegates. They are to be the ones commissioned. They are to be the ones to do. And so they're to be given the Holy Spirit. They are to remain there and wait for that empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we know was spoken of in chapter 2. Because Jesus delivers on his promise. He delivers on his promise. And he delivers on his promise to us. His presence through the good and the bad of life. His presence through whatever life might bring. The deliverance of good things and the reality of the bad. We don't live on the shore of perfection. We live on the shore of continuing hardship, of difficulty, of the old man, of the earthly plane. Look to the new. Look to the promise. Trust the promise. Trust the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we have been delegated, as we have been named his emissaries in our lives in this year of 2016. From the beginning of our life to the end, that's the Christian's responsibility, to be the ones who share the gospel, live out the gospel, and live out the life of a Christian in our time and our time frame. And so Luke is placing before them, or before us, even today, the assembly of the disciples, commanding them that they should not part from Jerusalem. And while he was alive, he gave to them, in verse 3, after his passion, after his death, after his burial, and after his resurrection, infallible proofs. Some translations leave out the word infallible, but proofs nonetheless, of who he was and how he had come back to life, even as he had told them would happen. And so as he moves in and out of their lives in those days that follow his resurrection 30 days and then the day of Pentecost 40 days. He spoke to them pertaining to the kingdom of God of which they were now responsible for. Would have seemed easier if he had stayed and put it together in a way that would have been perfect. But that's not it. He deals with imperfect people. He deals with humanity. He deals with each one of us, with our old and with our new. Despite our old and in our new. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Focus upon the new man that is regenerated, that is renewed day by day in the image of his Son by his Spirit. And so he spoke to them of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Some of it recorded, a lot of it not. Gospels give some glimpses of that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The seashore experience, the times that he would insert himself into their lives and tell them, stick around, it's going to come to pass, even as I spoke of and as we have it recorded for us in John 15, 16, and 17. And so they were assembled together. Good characteristic. Staying together. Rather than peeling off and going off into seclusion, isolation, into fear, into concern, going back to the old ways. But human nature is like that. We like to go back to things that we are comfortable with. We see those examples in his disciples, and we are that way as well. And he tells them in verse 5, or Luke tells us as he said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So, 10 days. Not many days. It's going to come to pass that you will receive the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that will enable you, that will guide you. So we have ascension, we have Pentecost, then we have the fulfillment of the Trinity of God, Trinity Sunday. Another good marker on the church calendar. When we think about this, complete capabilities that's being given. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, now go. And so we have before us the ascension, and he tells the disciples that John baptized with water, but you shall receive, be baptized with, be the recipients of the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And they therefore came together, in verse 6, and they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of heaven? Notice their focus keeps going back to this removal of oppression, removal of the dominance of the Roman authorities, the historical foreign domination they had in an earthly way. That was God's plan. Kingdoms have come and kingdoms have gone since that time. Empires were built and empires have waned. The Roman Empire, of some viewing the United States as the back end of that. Some view it differently, but we're not going to get into those perspectives on where we are in that course of history. But see, God's choice of timing can vary and be so different. And God's choice of who and God's choice of when can be so different from what we might think it should be. God's choice was of them. The 11 disciples, the 120, and those that went beyond as we see it expand and move out from Jerusalem throughout the book of Acts. And so they were being commissioned. Disciples, apostles, delegates, emissaries, whatever word we want to use, whatever characterization we want to, they've been given, they're now being given the capability and the responsibility and the word, the gospel, the good news, the emissaries of the way of life versus the way of death, the way of salvation, the way of light versus the way of darkness. Deliverance to the captive, as Isaiah calls it in chapter 61 of his prophecy. Deliverance of the captives. Open the door. Swings open. The captives are now free. The captivity that sin places upon us. The release of that sin by the gospel and by believing the word of reconciliation. And so they are commissioned and told to go out. But their focus is on this historical thread. The presence of, you know, the Romans, the foreign domination, the earthly kingdom. But they are being commissioned. Ships were commissioned years ago. Since ships are commissioned today. We don't think of it in the same sense as they did, because that was the primary mode of transportation and travel. And we went across from, you know, across the Mediterranean, or as we know, went from Europe to what was the Americas in the times of Columbus and Leif Erikson. Ships were commissioned for a purpose. Think back to our visit to Sweden, was that 8 years ago now, when the Vasa that was in a museum in Stockholm. It was commissioned by the Swedish government for the Navy to go and to bring it into war against Poland. And so you could see how this ship, you had something visible that you could see as a structure commissioned with a very distinct purpose. In that case, it was military of that time. We have, in our time, aircraft carriers and destroyers and corvettes and different capable military ships and responsible for doing the following. Ships were commissioned and to move people across the ocean in times past, in the 1800s and in the early turn of the century. Move people, move goods, move troops, whatever it happens to be. Our ship of faith has been commissioned by Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit at the helm, to live out our lives as He would define it and direct us in Scripture and through that same Spirit, to be my witnesses and to testify of me. Be my witnesses and testify of me. We are His diplomats, commissioned by Him, equipped by Him, not sent out empty. Not sent out without anything that provides the capability to be successful. Tools, we might call it, in careers that we have. There are things that we learn in school or in trade school or in college, high school, whatever that level of learning is. And we now have this capability that we go out and work out our career, and we have been commissioned. We are responsible for how we work out our career and what we do with the capabilities we've been given and the knowledge that we have. Wilt thou again restore unto the restore again? Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of it to Israel? And what was his response in verse 7? It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power or in his own authority. Don't worry about it. It will unfold. Not for you to know or to be concerned with the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power and in his own authority to know. But you shall. But you shall. The Father's going to select the timing, but you will get it. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, the beginning point, in Judea, a little bigger circle, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Good connection with the last chapter of Matthew, the uttermost parts of the world or of the earth. Remember, the Americas wasn't a part of the known world at that time. They had a feel for the uttermost parts as being Palestine, as being the East, as being Asia Minor, as being what we know as Europe because of the Roman Empire. It was a part of that. But we have been the beneficiaries, that we are a part of that uttermost parts that we know today as defines the globe and the world on which we live. And we are the uttermost parts. So with closing words, good to be highlighted in your Bible. These are the last words of the Lord upon this earth before he ascends. Reverberating and recommitting and reconfirming his command to his disciples to receive the Spirit in its due timing and then go out. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Here's the ascension. The one verse of the ascension. Suddenly he's not with them anymore. So are things we take for granted with people that are with us that someday will not, and they're not with us anymore. And suddenly we go, wow, I miss those conversations, or I miss the friendship, or I miss the relationship. Appreciate it today. Mother's Day. Good time for thinking about that. Appreciate our mothers. Mothers in our past, grandmothers, those that influenced us like mothers. Understand that they're not always going to be here. 14 years of the rearview mirror for me, for my mother. Mother's Day, think about it. Appreciate one another. Well, it's called today. Appreciate mothers, appreciate fellow Christians, appreciate our friends in the church, fellow believers, those that have influenced us, those that still do influence us in a positive way. Mentors, we might call them. The best mentor the disciples had was now taken up out of their sight, their rabbi, their teacher. And suddenly they're no longer with them. Pull out pen and paper and start writing furiously of some of the things they had witnessed and some of the things they had heard, perhaps. Didn't have that, obviously. Of all the things that John could have written, of all the things that Matthew could have written, of all the things that the disciples could have put down, of all the things that Luke could have written, and Luke wasn't a disciple. Prolific writer. Seems to me he would have made a very good disciple, but he was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. That wasn't how the Lord had commissioned and planned it to be. And so now he was taken up, a cloud receiving him out of the sight, the miracle of the ascension. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, say, why are you standing here looking up to heaven? Maybe this helped jog their memory of his promises. A lot of things when something we witness occurs that makes us consider something we've been told. Mentors, friends, those pithy statements that stay with us from somebody of our that influenced us in our childhood or our formative years. And so as they gaze up to heaven, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you in heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. But he is coming again. Thinking that he is coming again, song that he is coming again, foretelling and prophecy of Scripture and fact of Scripture. Don't just stay here, get on with it. Get on with it. When loved ones depart from this world, oftentimes their statement to the living and the family that is left is to carry on. Get on with life. Life is conducted with the living. Consider the lessons. Consider the legacy. Consider the memories, but don't dwell on it and stay there. Life is one of a journey moving forward. Life is one of running with patience that is set before us. Life is going forward under the guidance of the Spirit and under the guidance and the teachings of His Word. He'll come in like manner, but move forward. And so they returned to Jerusalem, verse 12, from the mount called Olivet, which is a Sabbath day's journey. So they're back, they were at Mount of Olives. They returned. And they came back together. It's important to know they didn't scatter. They stayed together. That's a key issue with the church, is to stay together, is to hold together, be united. 11 disciples named here. Those that were married, their wives, I'm sure. Women such as Mary and Martha, brothers and friends. And so we have the listing of the present disciples of the apostles as we know them in verse 13. In upper room doesn't say the upper room, so perhaps there are several upper rooms that they went to, or they, you know, places that they communed together and supped together. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. With one accord in prayer and supplication. And so Isaiah used the characterization, how lovely are the feet of them who bring good news. The songs that we have that speak to that as well. Commentary I have said by Franz Delitzsch said that how lovely does not refer to the sound of footsteps, but on the appearance of the messengers of the good tidings of great joy. The message of those that bring it. The picturesque language of Isaiah. God offers tidings of good in contrast to bad. We deal with negative situations in life. We deal with illness. We deal with affliction. We deal with loss of loved ones. We have question marks. But God offers tidings of good with his renewing grace. Tidings of salvation. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from self. Deliverance from the enemy, the soul, Satan himself. The divine message that his disciples were given, hear ye him. Isaiah was talking about Chaldean oppression, Assyrians, as we consider in the gospel or the prophecy of Isaiah. Here we have his disciples, as we have read, of their concern with Roman oppression. So we have Chaldean, Assyrian oppression in the times of Isaiah. We have Roman oppression in the times of the disciple today. No, we don't deal with global oppression, we deal with sin's oppression. Universal oppression of sin that can weigh down the lives of people. But there's good news. The good news presupposes bad news. Well, the bad news is sin will eternally separate man from God. But the good news is the gospel and the life of Jesus Christ will deliver us from that sin and deliver us to his presence when he comes again. That's the good news that we live in. That's the good news we have received. And they continued with one accord, unity, in prayer, supplication, with the women, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So his family was there, the family of Jesus Christ. His mother, Mary, the disciples. And following on to this, as we think of the balance of this first chapter in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Suddenly leadership emerges when it's necessary and when it's right. And the name together and the number of names together there were about 120. Either was an awful big upper room, or they changed the venue. Some place where 120 people could gather together to listen to what Peter tells them. And he goes through the selection of a follow-on disciple to replace Judas Iscariot before the day of Pentecost occurs. Matthias received that lot in the 26th verse of this first chapter. He now is numbered with the 11, and the church now moves out. The momentum starts building. And so as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in the 15th chapter, in verse 58, said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. This is to us. Be steadfast. Be immovable. And always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that is what he told the people of that time. And that's what he tells us today. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Abound in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. He's commissioned you. You are his diplomats. You are, we are, his emissaries today. The church needs to stay focused on that responsibility. The church needs to stay focused upon the message and stay true to what Jesus Christ left for his disciples, even as we read of the ascension this morning. Amen.